The title of the message is, Be of Good Cheer, Jesus Overcame. Be of good cheer. You can shout hallelujah that Jesus overcame. And at the end of these brief few minutes that we have together, it's my prayer that your heart would be opened and we'd be able to articulate even more God's heart. So if you would, just pray with me real quick. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for being in your house today. Thank you for your presence that's with us. And Lord, we ask that our hearts would be open to hear what you would speak to us, Lord Jesus. And God, I just give you myself right now, and I ask that you would just use my voice, what you've given me in my heart, to share with the congregation. And we ask that all the glory and honor go to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Are you bombarded by news? As Pastor Carter said this morning, we're probably being faced with more news all around us. Just sometimes it's overwhelming. And if you're not careful, all of these waves of news just keep coming and just keep coming and just keep coming. And sometimes the news is almost unbearable, that not only we hear in our communities, in our city, but in our nation and even in the world, all the things that are happening right now all around us. But Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you would have peace. So if you would, please turn to the book of John, the gospel in the New Testament, John, the 16th chapter, verse 33. To many of you, it is a common scripture. You've heard this before, and we just want to be able to spend just a few moments on it and to start talk about what Jesus said here and what he meant. Praise God. Peace is because of him. I have told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, he said this before he went to the cross. And in fact, in the book of John, this is the last comment that he made to his disciples prior to him going to the trial and ultimately his execution in the book of John. So right after he said this, then he goes into John, the 17th chapter, and it's where Jesus prayed. And then right after that is when the trial and ultimately his execution began. So when I read this, the red letter version in my Bible, and it's the last thing that he spoke here, I pay attention to it. I say, God, what would you speak into your disciples right before you lifted up in your eyes into heaven? You begin to pray for us. You begin to pray for what was about to happen, what was about to transpire, how you were about to set man free. So when I look at this, I simply, when you said, these things I have spoken to you, so it leads you to question what things? What were the things that God had been speaking to them prior to him making this statement? And so if you just simply look back in the last couple of chapters before this, Jesus will walk you through what he was saying. He said things like, love one another. I want you to wash one another's feet. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. If it weren't so, I would tell you. So he's saying, I am who I say I am, and I will do what I say I will do. He was also telling us that there's going to be persecution. And yes, even persecution that comes from the church. Because he said that there will be those in the synagogues who will put you out. And some might even think they're doing service to God by killing you. So there's persecution that comes. And it's not just coming from this outside world as we know it. It comes seemingly from the religious section, the religious part of this world. Because in the world, you have the secular culture, you have a church culture, and then you have the culture of Christ, thank God. So there's religion, and there was religion that he came against during his day that was one of the key things that he would fight about. And some of the things that would got him more even angry when he even scourged the temple and he put together the whip of cords to drive out the money changers. Anything that even appeared like it was religion that was trying to come against the truth of the Word of God is what Jesus would come against. And he's still the same today. Whether we're in church, whether we're as Christians walking out there, Jesus Christ is making promises to you, and he will fight on your behalf. Let me say it again. He will fight on your behalf. And he is ready to fight. Thank God. So he says this. He said, I have overcome the world even before he went to the cross. So it's almost like he's saying past tense. He hasn't gone to the cross yet, but he's saying, In me, you will have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He talks about you have to keep my commands. Yes, there will be grief, there will be sorrow, there will be trouble, there will be stress, there will be fatigue. So when we walk in the world today and we have this kind of bombardment of all these issues around us, God is saying, take heart, be of good courage, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And he's saying that you can't, but I can. Because in the world, you will have trouble. That word just simply means you are going to have stress. When you are in this world, you're going to have stress. And we're going to talk about, for a little bit, to talk about what that means about the stress and what the Bible has to say about it. But Jesus is making a very clear contrast here. In the world, you will have stress. I've overcome the world. You'll have relief. You'll have peace. So over here, it's like make a choice. Do you want stress or do you want relief? And he's saying that I will bring peace. And so peace simply means here, one of the translations of the word peace, it's he's referring to the mercy that he grants as a result of being free from the distress of sin. See, sin causes stress in our life. Sin for the moment may appear nice. Sin for the moment may appear, the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eye or the pride of life. For a moment, it may be pleasurable. But in the end, it brings trouble. It brings stress. It brings fatigue. It brings the sense of being overwhelmed. And the world will always pile back onto it and say not only is it tries to bring you into temptation or bring you into sin, but it ultimately is trying to bring you down. So the cover of the devil is saying, you may like this for a while, but he's trying to get you involved back into the ways of yourself, but in the end, it will only bring stress. How many times have things in your life just simply broken down? It could be your finances, it could be your health, it could be your marriage, it could be your children, it could be the whole community around you, your relationships at work, your relationships in church. Sometimes you just think nothing is working. There's all this stress. So the question you need to ask yourself, am I letting Jesus give me peace or am I trying to figure this out on my own? Does it become the nature that I am? Do I go back to self-reliance and maybe even dependent on self? That's our fallback position. I can figure this out. So Jesus is saying the peace I will give you is the peace that you'll find when you're free from the stress of sin. I'm going to break the sin cycle. I'm going to pay for sin. I'm going to set you free so that now you have an opportunity to walk with me in the promises that I've made for your life from the very beginning of the world so that you can be who I've always meant you to be. It's never too late to be what God has intended you to be. It's never too late for that. You can be what God has intended you to be. But the world would say that you're a failure. Oh, thank God. Jesus said, in Luke, the 4th chapter, you don't have to turn there, but he just said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. When he came to start his ministry and to start his mission on the earth, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to preach the gospel, to proclaim release to the captives, to recover of sight to the blind, and set free the oppressed. So what he's basically saying, if I'm here to set you free, means repent. Repent and believe the good news. The gospel is often referred to as the gospel of peace. The gospel of rest. And Jesus himself is called, in many cases, the Prince of Peace. So he's saying, my peace I will give to you. In the world, you're going to have all of this. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But I put myself in the kind of the mind of the disciple going, wow, what is he talking about? What do you mean I'm going to have all this persecution and stress? And maybe even the very synagogue I go to will try to kill me. I'm going to have all this, you know, you're talking about that, you know, the ruler of this world is about to be judged and righteousness is going to be looked at and sin is going to be convicted when the Holy Spirit comes. There's all these things that Jesus was talking to him. But praise God, he was saying, my presence will give you peace. It's not a positive thinking story. The gospel is not about tomorrow is your best day. Or today can be your best day. It's not a positive thinking message. The gospel of peace is not about feel good or what do you have to do to relieve the pressure, whether it come through some form of entertainment, whether it come through, you know, alcohol or drug related, or it could be just staying in an argument. The Bible is not here to bring you a positive thinking message. The Bible is here, the Word of God is to bring you into the presence of Jesus so that He can give you peace. The Bible is not just talking about Him, it is written about Him. It is for Him, it's through Him, and all things are made because of Him. So why wouldn't we come to the very one who promised us peace? Why wouldn't we come to the very one who says, I have overcome the world? Jerry, you haven't. And Jerry, you never will. You can't. You can even promise me that you will, but like Peter, I know what you're capable of. I know where your mind can go. I know where your heart can go. Have you ever got to the point in the midst of a conflict, you just said, oh, if only I could just have a raise. If only I could just get rid of this problem. If only I could just have life this way, I'd feel better for at least a while. If only. I'm going to read you what David himself cried. And it's amazing how Pastor Carter was talking about King David this morning. But take a look, or I'll read it for you. Praise God. He says, my heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. You feel overwhelmed at times? In all the stress, the fatigue? He said, oh, that I had the wings like a dove. Talk about somebody wanted to escape. I had the wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. He's saying, if I had the ability, I would move myself out of these circumstances, and I would be at rest. Behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and tempest. So here is King David crying out that, oh, if I just had the wings like a dove, I'd fly away. How often are we tempted just to move away from the conflict? Peace is not the absence of conflict. It's the presence of God. Peace is in His presence. When I come into His presence, so He said, when you come in, find mercy and grace to find help in time of need, means I can actually approach the very throne of God because Jesus overcame. Because of what He did, I have the opportunity and you have the opportunity to come in and say, maybe it's just I simply blew it. I'm going down a path that I don't understand, but I'm trying to figure this thing out and I can't seem to figure it out. I've read some of the books on positive thinking. I've read some of the books that are out there about how I can make this my better day or what I can do about tomorrow. Maybe it's, you know, self-help or the steps you can take, meditation. It's things that you can get into. Folks, peace is not that. Peace is the presence of God. And the only way you can get into the presence of God is through the blood of Christ who gave Himself for us. So to acknowledge that and come into God's presence, Jesus Himself said, I will give you peace. I will give you rest. Praise God. We don't have to fly away. We don't have to. We will one day. We'll meet Him in the air. But that's when He comes to save us totally. Praise God. But in the meantime, He's saying, I want you where you are. I want to give you peace in the middle of the storm. Look at just a few chapters back. John the 14th chapter, verse 25. John 14, 25, just back a few from where we opened up from John 16. This is the New King James Version. He says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach. This is a teaching session. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance, bring to your understanding. He'll bring to your consciousness. It'll come up within you. All things that I said to you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Now watch this. He always, even in 1633 and here, He refers to peace before He refers to the world. He refers to what He is capable of before He contrasts it with what's in the world. He doesn't go, woe is me and all the stuff about the world and then try to give the anecdote. He's saying, my peace is with you. I have already overcome the world. I have overcome. My peace I'll give to you, but He says, not as the world gives. So we have to understand the world is ready, willing, and able to give you something. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The world is ready to bring you into a cycle of your own understanding, your own dependence on your ability to kind of work things through. The world will always try to bring you, hey, just come take a look at this. Just come over here, it's okay. The world will even entice you to say, okay, you're a Christian. Just don't go all the way. Yes, you're in church. You're even going to that 3 o'clock service. But you don't have to repent of everything. After all, God knows your weakness. God knows what made you. God loves you. He will try to entice in such a way that will bring you into trouble and to bring you into stress. Not as the world gives. 1 John, it says, love not the world or the things of the world. And we have all been there. Every one of these. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The very things that caused the fall of mankind in the first place in the Garden of Eden were the very things that Jesus himself went after. Love not the things of the world. Because as we walk through this society, as we walk through our life before we go to heaven, as we walk in this world, everything that comes against us can be wrapped up in one of those. It'll be the lust of the flesh, your ability to go back to what is your natural self, the lust of the eye. Well, maybe I should live there. Maybe I should wear that. Maybe I should talk like this. Maybe that's the way I should be. The pride of life. Look at me. Maybe I'm somebody. Maybe I can be something. It confuses the peace of God, and it confuses the promises of God. We're saying if you'll just kind of do it this way, you'll be okay. It's an enticement that tries to take you away from the presence of God. And as you walk with God, let the cry of your heart be, I don't want to leave God's presence. Because in his presence, I hear truth. In his presence, I hear maybe sometimes what I don't want to hear. Jerry, you can't go there. In your mind, you can't be thinking those things. You can't say certain things. This is where I want you. This is what I want to move your understanding into. This is how I want to shape your future. This is how I want to shape your life. So we have to have a willingness in our heart, and that's the cry of my heart today, is that God, as we hear your word, let the cry of our heart be, Lord, let me know truth and let truth set me free. I don't want to hear things that are just truthful. I want to hear truth. Amen. And truth comes and emanates from the very person of Jesus Christ, the one who said, I will give you peace. Praise God. I want you to look at real quickly what in the world, because he mentioned it's in both scriptures. In fact, he's several times throughout the New Testament, Jesus talks about the world. I just want to take a look at this, and you'll see this on the overhead. The world. And think about some of the things that maybe have transpired in your life or even somebody you know. The world system is the ethical, moral, and spiritual system of life in its condition of self-reliance and independence from God. It's marked by selfishness, not me, greed, power, ambition, self-glory. Some of these, ouch. But this is what the Bible says the world is. And this is what it tries to bring us in and suck the very life out of us. It's accompanied by worry, grief, depression, failure, and despair. So the world says, okay, come my way. Not only am I going to put stress on your life, but your life is going to be full of greed, of power, of ambition. These are the very things that caused man's fall in the first place. These are the things that caused the temptation to come in to Adam and Eve. And so the world is saying it may look good over here for a time, but underneath it, when you pull back the cover, when you take the mask off of it, this is what it's marked by and is accompanied by all of these other problems that we develop. And by the way, it also is marked by violence, depression, thoughts of suicide, thoughts of ending it. And that's in all the news around us. I mean, so these are not surprising to us. These are the things that Jesus said is the things that are in the world. This is anti-Christ. These are the things that are anti-Christ. So if you find yourself having some of these emotions or having some of these feelings or some of these thoughts, recognize this is not coming from the presence of God. And you want to flee from this. You want to move as quickly away from this and back into the presence of God as you possibly can. If that means repent, folks, repent. Move back into the presence of God. Say, Lord, let the season of refreshing come into the presence of my life. I walk away. I move away from whatever this is, what Pastor Carter may have been referring to this morning. Some of you are looking at things you don't need to look at. Some of you are saying things you don't need to be saying and even, you know, trying to defend positions. Also, what the world says with this, in the midst of all this is the funny thing about the world. It will try to pull you into this, under this umbrella of all of these things and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and accompany it with greed and power and dependent on self. But the devil does a couple of things, which I find are really interesting. He gets you in circular reasoning, which says push, grind, work hard, figure it out, and then you fail. So it means now I got to push harder, grind harder, figure it out a little bit more. I was raised to believe I could do anything I put my mind to. And all these things, you wind up getting this catch-22. The harder you work, the harder you fail. The more you strive, the more you get under pressure. And it just becomes this circular reasoning. It never ends. It just keeps coming back around. That's what happens when you're hung up in the world system. Then he hits you with this extension thinking, which says this. You have failed before. You are failing now. Therefore, by extension, you will always fail. That's what the devil says. And we kind of sit under this umbrella of the world system where we're morally, ethically, and spiritually bankrupt, which is what the world system is, and it always will be. Jesus said, I came to undo the works of darkness. I didn't came to save that. I come to undo that. I come to take those things off of your life, give you salvation, get you in my presence where you will have real and lasting peace. Praise God. The world system will always tell you that you're a failure. In fact, they'll even come to you and say, aha, I've even taken your loftiest dreams from you. I've taken the very promises that you think God has given you, and I'm taking those captive to myself. Jesus is coming and saying, even in the midst of failure, somebody may have walked in here today thinking your life is over, thinking that there's a struggle that you can't seem to get on top of, thinking that there's something happened in your life. In the midst of failure, Jesus shows up. Be encouraged. In the midst of failure, in fact, we've heard it time and time from this pulpit where our pastors have been saying that the admission of failure is the beginning of the supernatural. If you just begin to say, I failed, I've made a mistake, Lord, I've sinned, have mercy on me. God is saying, that's what I wanted to hear. That's what I want to hear. And that comes, with that becomes peace. I'll never forget as a young man, not too long after I'd gotten saved, I knew I was saved. Something had changed in my life. But there was an area of my life that just had not yet yielded to God. And this was maybe within 10 days or 2 weeks after I got saved. And all of a sudden I realized, I can't walk this walk. I'm saved. I want to walk with God. I'm sincere in my faith. But Lord, you just saw my life today. And in the midst of this crying out in my heart, the presence of God came. The presence of God came in such a way, and I had not been taught what this was. I'd been saved about 10 days. And the presence of God filled my room. The glory of God filled my room. I didn't even know what it was called. But there was light. There was forgiveness. There was peace. There was this wonderful presence of God. It couldn't be described. And when I opened my mouth to say, I was just going to say, wow. All of a sudden, here comes this praise and this worship in a language that I didn't understand. But I knew it was God. I knew I was in the presence of God. And all I could say was, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What I just read in John in the book of Acts is true. It's true. It's true. Praise God, it's true. You are who you said you are. You gave me something I couldn't have. You've now given me something I could never possess. And all of a sudden, just the Spirit of God began to minister in my own heart in a way that I'm going to take you places you could never go. I'm going to do things in you you can't even imagine are possible. And all of a sudden, there was this, what do I do with this? What do I do with this, all this experience that I'm having? I'm by myself. I said, I got to share it with somebody. I was in a hotel. I go down to the lobby, and it's like, now it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I've been up all night reading and crying and going, God is alive. And I'm trying to grab anybody I could find to say, he's real. He's alive. I was in a foreign country, and they didn't speak English. So can you understand what it means that Jesus is alive? I'm grabbing the bellboy at the hotel lobby and say, can you understand what I'm saying? And I'm trying to show him this. And he doesn't speak English. He doesn't read English. I said, oh, God, help me, help me. But there was this, something occurred. But when I got back to my room later that morning, I said, God, in the midst of my failure, you showed up. In the midst of failure, but he said, Jerry, you repented. You repented and I showed up. So folks, the world may want to try to tell you you're a failure. Jesus is saying, repent. It's something that happens in your spirit and it happens in your heart. I'd like to go quickly to give you some encouragement about what God does. It's in book of Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. This is probably one of my more favorite passages of scripture because it's always unfolding. It's always unfolding. Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We heard last week in Pastor Will's teaching that Abraham, look what happened to Abraham. If he had leaned on his own understanding, he never would have got up and left the land where he was. But God said, come into the land, I'm going to show you. So lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That means all of your, this middle area, it really means courage. Are you willing to trust God with all of your courage? Will you trust him? And trust means, are you willing to go to him and not suspect that he has any harm for you? It means that you're willing to come in and be unsuspecting. Is he going to let me go? I remember a story Pastor Carter shared about his son jumping off the refrigerator and just right into the arms of his father. He wasn't suspecting. He wasn't worried that dad was going to drop him. He just jumped. That's trust. So he's saying, if you'll trust me with all of your heart, all of your intentions, all of your motivations, all of the things, even your failures, if you'll trust me with that and lean not, the word lean not here means that you're going to put dependence on something that can be kicked out from under you. Because it doesn't say trust in the Lord with all your heart and trust not your own understanding. It says lean not on your own understanding. Your own understanding will get kicked out from under you. If you put your weight on that, you put your dependence or your reliance on that, and all of a sudden another philosophy or another understanding comes along and it just kicks it right out from under you, you're down. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. And if you not lean on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your path. That means, now here's the, you got to hear this. It's good news, but in order to get there, there's a little bit of hammering that takes place. The word that he's going to say, he's going to make straight, which means I'm going to hammer this straight. And the word hammer here means it can be hammered only with heat. So I'm going to put you in the furnace. I'm going to heat it up. And then I'm just going to start banging on it. I'm going to start hammering it. I'm going to start making it. Because what happens, he's going to take something that was rough. He's going to take something that was crooked. He's going to take something that had highs and lows in it, and he's going to make it straight. So that when you look into the presence of God, there's no blockage to it. It means he's going to make it straight. And when he says here that I'm going to make it straight, he says, I am going to make your path straight. And in that, you are going to be morally upright. Praise God. I'm going to be morally healed. So it's just the opposite of the world, what it says that if we are morally, spiritually, and ethically bankrupt, Jesus says, when I make you straight and you come into my presence, I'm going to even everything out so you can see clearly, and then I'm going to even direct where you go. And in that, there's going to be a moral uprightness. There's going to be an ethical uprightness. There's going to be a spiritual foundation. It means I'm going to move with a purpose in your life. No longer in the circle. No longer in the catch-22. But actually, there's a purpose in your life. There's a purpose that God has for your life. And that's what he's saying, folks. Thank God. Thank God. I was hung up in my own understanding. Actually, I was with Pastor Carter on a trip to India, and I was in this conference with Pastor Carter, and there was, I don't know, probably 4,000 or 5,000 people there, and it was a large gathering, and there was kind of chaos and confusion all over the, and Pastor Carter's supposed to come into the pulpit. So I'm thinking, okay, there's all this stuff going on. There's dancing everywhere. There's confusion. There's all these sounds and noise. I said, well, he's going to go into the pulpit, and he's going to bring order. That was my understanding. Surely he's going to do this. Surely this is how God is going to move. He didn't. So I'm looking at my watch. The host is looking at his watch. Is Pastor Carter going to get into the pulpit? And he just stood there. He just stood there and started calling on God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. He began to call on God. God brought the order. God brought the peace. And here's what happens. Here's what happened. I'm watching this. It's like he's facing this big, massive audience out here like this, and I'm kind of on the side, and I'm watching this, and he's just calling on God. Not in the pulpit. He's standing like way back here just calling on the Lord. And all of a sudden, I've never seen it like this before, is a spiritual wave begin to hit. This and all of a sudden, you hear this, there's kind of a sound way out there, and you look back out over the people, and there was this, you didn't see any wave, but you saw people going, and as soon as this hit them, there was quietness, there was calm, there was crying. They were in the presence of God, and this thing began to wave, and whenever it would hit somebody, it's just weeping. You're weeping, and I'm watching this come, and I'm going, it's about to hit me. Boom. Oh God, but it was no fear. There was nothing to be afraid of. It was the presence of God. God bringing order when you pray. God brings order when you pray. This was a simple prayer. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. And I was asking Pastor Carter later, I said, God, what was that all about? Why wouldn't you get into the pulpit? He said, it's not me to bring order. The Holy Spirit has to bring order. I was completely blown from my own understanding. That was a big moment for me in learning God. My understanding was he should have gone to the pulpit. His understanding of listening to God is just call on God. So when you don't lean on your own understanding, God will direct your path. Praise God. I simply want to close with this. I want to read from Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. I pray that this would give you hope. The overhead says that your path is God-inspired, God-directed, and God-protected. Your path. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, not to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, and when you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile." Some of you feel you're in exile today. Maybe something's occurring in your life where it's to say, this is not of God. I need to be brought back. Jeremiah says, when you call on me, you come and pray to me, I will listen to you. Mark that down. When you get home, read that again. It's verse 12. You will call upon me and come and pray, and I will listen to you. Will you pray? Will you pray? Because when you pray, God can go through your understanding. You don't have to lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And he, although he may hammer it for a while, and heat it up and hammer it some more, but folks, when the end, it's smooth, it's clear, and your vision of who God is clear, and it's not muddied by overwhelming news. It's not muddied by the things of this world. God can set you free, because he can speak truth into your heart. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Would you stand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you just simply need to hear God's voice say, I have you. I believe that. You just simply need God to say, I have you. I've never let you go. I've never abandoned you. I've never forsaken you. I'll speak purpose into your life. If that's you, some of you just need to have your promise renewed. You just need to have this trust in your heart to say, God, get me out of the wheel. Get me out of the cycle. Get me out of this circle that I'm in. Get me out of the catch 22. Take away this extended reasoning that says I'm a failure and I always will be a failure. Let the promise of God come into my heart. If that's you, will you come? We're just simply going to pray. As we said in Jeremiah, if you will come and pray, I will hear. Praise God. Come on. Just come pray with us. We're going to pray and we're going to ask God. Just like Pastor Carter was calling on the Lord, he'll bring order. He'll bring stability. He'll bring purpose in your life, because we're going to believe God together. Amen? Amen? Come quickly. Just as the musicians play, just come quickly. We're going to call on God together. We're just going to ask God, help us. Help us. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence, your presence, your presence. Folks, there's nothing like his presence. There's nothing can satisfy like his presence. The presence of God. He promised he would give us his presence. His peace would be with us. Amen? We're going to pray right now. And there's something in your heart. There's a promise that God has been speaking to you. There's something that's been occurring you just want to get rid of. God is going to set free in the name of Jesus. This is why he came. He is who he says he is, or he isn't. We believe he is. Thank you, Jesus. Just let your heart begin to cry out to the Lord. In your heart right now. You don't have to be loud. Nobody next to you needs to know what it is, but just let your heart right now. As we pray, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promise that in you we have peace. In you we have your presence, Lord Jesus. God, we pray right now that your voice would be very clear to everybody who has come to this altar. Lord, even those who didn't come, but in their heart, they're crying out to you right now. Those online, Lord Jesus. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, we cry for your presence, Lord, right now, to break every bond that would keep from your presence. Every addiction would be broken. Every habit would be broken. Everything shameful would be broken. Every argument against God would be broken right now in the name of Jesus. Every positive thinking thought would be broken. It's only in the presence of Almighty God. Lord, we ask for this in Jesus' name. We ask for the joy of the Lord to bring new strength. Your joy of why you came, Lord Jesus. Why you came, for the joy that was set before you to see everybody at this altar set free and to walk in the presence of God. Even in the days ahead of us, Lord, give us courage. Give us hope to know that you are who you say you are. And we thank you for it. God, put gladness of heart now. Gladness of heart. Gladness of heart. Speak to us. Be of good cheer that you have overcome. Speak that into our hearts. And we give you thanks, mighty God. In Jesus' name. Amen.